You might be familiar with a man named Prince William from across the pond who is going to be king someday. We are not him. We are from the heart of Northern Virginia, and you're listening to the Other Prince William podcast, where we bring stories from business owners and leaders from our community in Greater Prince William County, Virginia. This podcast is brought to you in partnership with our proud sponsor, OmniRide. OmniRide, a quick and easy way to find your ride. Get there smarter with OmniRide, your public transportation agency located in Prince William, Virginia. Hey everyone, Bob Sweeney here with the Prince William Chamber of Commerce, and I wanted to welcome you to our brand new podcast. We are so lucky in our inaugural season to have Michelle Davis Younger, our mayor, my mayor, be the co-host of this. And today, we're in June of 2024, just for the record. Today, we have a most awesome guest and Bruce Potter, and I can't wait to get into this interview. Michelle, would you like to welcome our guest?
Sure, welcome, since you didn't say the name of the program, the other Prince William. welcome, Bruce. We're so glad you're here today. Thank you for joining us. You are the Inside Nova publisher and COO, and we are so grateful for your time today. Thank you for allowing us into your universe here.
Welcome to the world headquarters of Inside Nova.
The think tank.
We are lucky to be here. Actually, I've always wondered how the sausage is made. Because you guys, it's nonstop. Yeah. You are producing all the time. But before we're going to get into that, and we're going to get into the picture behind us. I don't know if you can see this on the podcast, but the picture behind us is the very first steel plate for the first print page of ever, and it was done
2013.
In 2013. Wow. But before we get started, I really wanted to say, how did you get here? How did this begin for you?
Well, it's a long story. I moved to Northern Virginia in 2007 as publisher of what was then a daily newspaper in Prince William County. The Potomac News and the Manassas Journal Messenger were two sister newspapers owned by the same company. I had worked for that company at that point over 20 years, started in the news side of the operation as an editor, as a reporter, and then an editor, and then over time morphed into the business side of the world of journalism. Came up here as publisher of those two newspapers in 2007 and have been in Northern Virginia ever since. I left that company and then joined another company up in Leesburg that published weekly newspapers. That was in 2012. And then at the end of 2012, the owner of the News and Messenger decided to close that publication, which would leave Prince William County without a newspaper. And we had other weekly newspapers in Loudoun and Fairfax and Arlington County. Because of my experience in Prince William and in talking with some of the key staff members of the paper here, we felt like Prince William and Manassas Park deserved and could support a weekly newspaper. We couldn't leave Virginia's second largest county without local news. So we started the weekly paper. It was called Prince William Today at that point.
Oh, yeah.
We changed the name to Inside Nova Prince William to match the website a couple of years later. And then we also purchased the Inside Nova website URL from BH Media, Warren Buffett's company, at the same time. So that was early 2013, and we've been going strong ever since.
Nice. So does the name Dennis Bradshaw do anything for you at all?
Dennis
From
Bradshaw.
Journal Messenger days, way back.
It rings a bell. Was he like, yeah.
He was something with the Journal Messenger.
Right.
I say that because he worked with my mom.
And oh, my gosh.
It's a whole story because the Journal Messenger was for my parents who were 85 and 90. They grew up in Manassas, were born there and never left. Mm-hmm. So that was just like Bible.
Right.
the day was not complete until we had the little box, uh-huh. and you went out and you got the paper and we knew who died, and then the phones would ring and right. oh, did you see? So that connection, the fact that you knew that need, met that need, yeah. and kept it there and saw, this is how people stay connected. My mom still says to this day, I'm so lost without my German lesson. Like, you get the Inside Nova. Nova,
right.
I'm the same, but she still loves Inside yeah. Nova, don't get Thank me you. Wrong. Yeah. But it's just that was just life, you know, because yeah. that's how they stay connected. So seeing that need, you know, what got you interested in journalism anyway to start with? Because you got your degree, your master's degree from University of Richmond.
Right, right.
And then what initially made you go, this is what I want to do with my life?
I actually thought when I was a kid that I was going to be a pro athlete.
Oh. Me too.
Many of us did. Yeah, right.
And got cut from the tennis team in seventh grade,
oh,
and,
wow.
and realized that that dream was not to be. But I loved following sports and playing sports, and so I thought the next best thing would be to be a sports writer. And to go cover sports and meet the athletes and watch the games, and that just seemed like a lot of fun. So that's how I got into, I read some books about sports writing, and this is in seventh, eighth grade, and that's really how I got into journalism.
Nice.
And really from that point on, I knew that's what I wanted to do with my career, was to be a journalist. Over time, I kind of got into the news side versus just sports, but did spend some time as a sports editor in Richmond, which was a lot of fun.
You grew up in Richmond?
I grew up in Richmond,
oh,
yeah,
okay.
yeah, yeah. And of course, in Manassas, I was there when Benny Skarton mm-hmm. celebrated mm-hmm. 50 years mm-hmm. as a reporter in the city of Manassas mm-hmm. with the Journal Messenger, which was just amazing to work with people like him and to see the love and the support that community had for him and that he had for that community.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's always interesting. Yeah.
Our economic development director in the city of Manassas has a daughter and a son, and his daughter is about ready to become a Richmond Spider also.
Oh,
she's
good.
Going back to law school. So we're very, very excited for her this August.
Yeah.
The other Prince William podcast is brought to you by our sponsor, OmniRide. OmniRide is a public transportation agency located in the Prince William area of the Northern Virginia region. In an area known for some of the worst congestion in the United States, OmniRide strives to provide a family of travel options that meet the needs of the residents and businesses within our community. OmniRide's goal is to be recognized as the easier way for people to get where they want to go through multiple and convenient transit options, including our commuter and local bus services, carpools, vanpools, ride sharing, and their partnership with the instant carpooling community.
You read in previous article that you wrote, one day you're going to write a book called The Things They Don't Teach You in Journalism School. And you wrote that right before the pandemic. I'm wondering what it was then and what it would be now, the title of your new book.
Well, one of the things they don't teach you in journalism school is to not move into a small office right before a pandemic.
No, they do not.
Because we were actually in a bigger office where people could spread out and still come into the office, and we moved into this office in February of 2020. And as you can see, it's a little small, and when our folks are here, they are working in fairly close quarters, and so we quickly became a hybrid company, in a remote company when the pandemic hit. But I think the biggest thing that the pandemic brought it's almost a silver lining for local media, is that. People in the community started to really value local media and local businesses and understand the importance of supporting local media and local businesses. And that's really helped, I think, the local media such as us to grow and to sustain ourselves.
I think that's a really cool thought. I don't want to interrupt.
That's okay.
My only thought was, we saw it too in places like the city of Manassas,
right.
where you think about buying local,
yeah.
small towns growing big. It's the same kind of concept.
Yeah. And one of the things that we found was there was this particularly for the first 3 or 4 months, just this, you know, unquenchable thirst for information about the pandemic. Are the schools open? Are the schools closed? What's open? What's closed? Do I need to wear a mask? Is there an outbreak at my grandma's nursing home? You know, it was just, you know, we couldn't give people enough content about COVID, and it was content that they couldn't get elsewhere because the national news was focused on Fauci and Trump and all the big picture stuff. But people really wanted to know, it was really important, what's going on in my community.
Yeah.
That's what's really important. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing that where we've found success in the last few years is what I call connecting communities. You all know Northern Virginia is a fast-paced, fast-growing, diverse area, probably, you know, certainly one of the most diverse in the country. A lot of people who move here think they have moved to Washington, D.C., and they haven't. But a lot of them, certainly pre-pandemic and even now, they get into their cars in the morning and they drive into D.C. or they drive into Fairfax to go to work. They drive home at night. They don't know their neighbors. They don't belong to the Rotary Club or the Raritans or the Kiwanis. Organizations have tough times getting volunteers for things like that. So one of our roles, and I think one that we've really tried to emphasize since the pandemic, is connecting people to their communities, introducing them through the pages of our newspapers and magazines and online to their neighbors, helping them learn about local businesses and some of the unique local businesses and the stories behind those businesses. Trying to provide a more comprehensive calendar of local events and things to do that aren't in D.C., but that are here in our communities at the Hilton Performing Arts Center and other places around the community. And that's where we've really found a lot of success is it goes beyond just, obviously we're still reporting the news, we're reporting what the mayor does and what city council does and what the Board of Supervisors is doing about data centers, but kind of going beyond that to help people, you know, really feel like they're part of a bigger community.
Yeah. So with, obviously social media and digital advertising came along and just sort of flipped everything over. What's been the biggest challenge for you since all of that has happened? Because when you first came along, that didn't exist.
Right.
So now it does, and it's all in our face 24/7. So
yeah,
what is the biggest challenge you see now?
Well, you just hit it. I mean,
yeah,
it is that.
Yeah.
It's at the same time it's an opportunity because I started at the afternoon paper in Richmond, and in a time pre-internet, to date myself, and we would come in the morning, and very early in the morning, and write stories, and then the paper would get printed, and the paper would be delivered to people's doorsteps between 4 and 5, 6 o'clock in the evening, and so, you know, there was always about a 12 to even a 24-hour gap between the time that we covered an event and the time that anybody would read about it in print. And we were competing with the television stations who could report immediately. They could do breaking news and break into the soap operas or whatever the evening news, whatever was on in the evenings and report breaking news. So, you know, we could never win that battle, if you will. Now with the web, we are 24/7. We can compete with television. We compete with radio. You know, the challenge is it's 24/7.
Right.
It doesn't
right,
stop.
Right.
You know, we have somebody working on Inside Nova almost 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, and certainly a good portion of that. And then from the advertising side, which is what, you know, you hit on, yeah, a lot of local advertisers and national advertisers have started using Google and started using Facebook. We offer a suite of digital products as well that I think can compete with those when used effectively. And, you know, that's been an opportunity for us. It requires training our sales reps to learn how to present those kinds of products, to how to talk to companies about them and what the benefits are. It requires working with advertisers, some of whom are more savvy about digital products than others. But we've come a long way in that regard, and our digital revenue is getting close to our print revenue in terms of what Inside Nova brings in now. So it's a big portion of what we do. And, you know, I think part of it and part of the importance to a local community is the necessity to support local media. And Google and Facebook are not going to come and cover a Manassas City Council meeting. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's right.
They're not going to cover a ribbon cutting.
Yep. No.
But that is
community, and that's a big, you
right,
know.
Right.
Yeah.
So we're the only ones that are doing that.
So Bruce, put yourself back in the classroom, pre-internet, and put yourself in your boss's shoes. That's going to hire Bruce Potter, and then think about Bruce Potter today and who you have to hire. Is talent a hard thing, as hard for you as it appears to be for everybody else, where it really is the number one? If you talk to any CEO, the very first thing they will say is it's hard finding talent.
No, absolutely. And we're a small company. We have about 26 or 27 employees. Not all of them work just on Inside Nova. Some of them work on our magazines and other publications. But when you're that small, every person is critical, and so it's always important to make to hire effectively and to hire good people. It is particularly a challenge with to find good salespeople.
Oh yeah.
That is probably our number one challenge. Journalists are a little bit easier to find, but it's still not easy. Mm-hmm. It's a job that requires curiosity, the ability to distill complicated information into a way that people understand. It requires a lot of energy and sort of determination, persistence, assertiveness. You know, so there's a lot of skill sets that are required there that are tough to find.
It's funny, I at the Chamber of Commerce, we've been dealing a lot with early education and things like dyslexia, or more importantly, literacy, and how it's become this major business issue. I can't believe how many people that we have interviewed. We're here with Caitlin Stevens, our director of communications, that can't write.
Yeah.
They can't write a resume, or they don't spell words, or they don't have a period at every sentence. They only have a period on half the sentences, or whatever it is. It's maddening, and you can't have that.
Yeah.
You have to be professional in your world.
Oh yeah,
cannot.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's interesting.
And for a journalist, you have to also not only be able to write, but also know how to ask questions and listen to answers and interview people and persuade sources to reveal information sometimes they don't want to reveal. You know, so there's a whole nother skill set just on top of being a good writer.
So I'm feeling like, much like the political world, your world, it's hard to get people to do it nowadays because of how it seems. Mm-hmm. And when you hear things like fake news and this and that, it doesn't make people want to do it. And then you're looking at, you know, politicians that are not doing so great. I don't want to do that. Why would I want to do that?
Yeah.
So, like, innovative approaches, what are you doing to try to keep up with everything? What are you thinking about new? What, you know, that you can do to try to attract people, and what do you want to do differently in the future?
Yeah, we one of the things we do that I think helps attract people is, or really one of the things we rely on, is the fact that our good folks have gone on to bigger and better jobs.
Okay.
Our Prince William reporter, who had been here a couple of years, just left to go to the Washington Business Journal.
Oh, wow.
You know, so that's something we can go to another young reporter that we're recruiting and say, hey, look, the last person with this job moved up to a bigger position. So, that's something we try to do. On the audience side, we're always trying to reach our audience where they are. So we've built up an incredible email newsletter list. We have over 40,000 people who said, yes, I want emails from Inside Nova. And that's helped us really get beyond kind of just Facebook and getting our stories out that way. We do push notifications. We have an app. We do an events newsletter. We have an events ticketing platform. So a lot of kind of different things to reach people where they are, which is really what you have to do. Mm-hmm. What we still need to work on, to be honest, is TikTok and Instagram and yeah. Snapchat and some of those other platforms to reach the younger generation, because yeah. we're not it's there tough. Yet, yeah. and that's tough. Yeah.
Wow, yeah. And would you like to talk a little bit about how you are hyper community, really? And I know you've talked about a little bit how important it is to be that community voice, but I see all in your kind of suite of publications, you have the guides to Springfield, to Culpeper, to we're hoping to do one in Manassas, right. I mean in Prince William County in Manassas Park, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, we just think it's important to be a part of the community. The community supports the news organization by reading our products, print or digital, by advertising in us, and we just think it's important to kind of return the favor. And again, we're a small company. We don't have tens of thousands of dollars to give to local nonprofits. We don't have hundreds of employees who can show up to volunteer at an event, but we do have a bullhorn, you know. We do have a voice, and so we try to, you know, use that to help local organizations when we can, and you know, we sponsor or present the spelling bee every year in Prince William County. Mm-hmm. We do the Christmas basket campaign with the Salvation Army, and support the chamber and other organizations, and just try to, you know, we try to work with local nonprofits where we can to help them get the word out, because that is part of our mission.
Well, thank you so much, Bruce. I love our partnership and the partnership the chamber has with Inside Nova. It's, I mean, you are our publication. You're our news source. We tout you. We believe in you. We love the fact that you're at the Business Awards every year, talking to our members and getting the inside scoop on all things business related. So until next time, be sure to keep supporting local businesses, artists, and entrepreneurs. And thank you, Bruce.
Thank you.
For letting us join you today. Yes. To all of our listeners, thanks for being a part of this journey.
And that's a wrap. That's a wrap. Thank you so much.
Good job.
Thank you for joining us today for our discussion. Be sure to check out the note caption and learn more about today's guest and more about their work. Please be sure to check out our sponsor. This is a great way to support our podcast and the work we continue to do discussing business in the greater Prince William County, Virginia region. If you have suggestions, topics, or questions to discuss with the team, please be sure to add your comments in the videos on our YouTube page. We read your comments and value your feedback. If you haven't already subscribed, please be sure to subscribe now and stay updated on all the upcoming guests and announcements. Again, thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to bringing you more inspirational stories from local business owners, creators, and entrepreneurs from the amazing business community here in our area.